Everyone, and welcome to Top 5 Tuesday. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
And we're gonna go through here, and we picked top 5 TV shows that we have enjoyed during quarantine. This is supposed to go from 5 to 1, where we list the top 5, and it goes from our, you know, what's number 1's the best. But sometimes our top 5s don't work like that. Kevin usually is like, well, there's no particular order. Or is that Doug?
That's Doug. Don't drag me. That's Doug. Doug is like, Doug's the dad where he's like, I don't have a favorite child, but here's 5.
Oh, it's Wednesday.
Oh, shit. Well, there you go.
Are you talking about the days of the week or your children?
God. Meanwhile, Ollie's on the other side of the
God.
Door.
Like, poor Ollie. Like,
no, he's got like the ring, ring. He's like, oh really, dad? Oh really, daddy?
Dude, you know what though? Hold on. He has gotten so tall in the last year. It is wild. It's like, where did those legs come from? Like, where the fuck did you get so tall? He's got long legs.
I mean, Katie has long legs too. Because so both be like of a, you are like
side of the family thing.
I thought
it's like, what the fuck is going on? When did you get so tall? It's weird. It's also weird to think like he is now the age that Colin was when I met Colin. How fucking wild is that?
Yeah.
Because I remember when we went to that that convention and he dressed in his Iron Man suit. Holy he was around like shit. 6 years old, and Ollie turned 6 in September.
I think it was sooner than that, man.
Isn't that wild? I was thinking about that the other day.
I can't believe he's already six. I'm old as shit. Yep.
That's why he's not 14. Yeah. That motherfucker's still 12. I don't care what you say.
I was going to say, like, I thought maybe, I was like, are you sure you're the father? Because both of you guys are like 4'10". And so.
What?
What the fuck you?
Just because you're a fucking giant doesn't mean he's, like, he's my height. What are you, 5'10"?
5'10". And Katie's 5'9". Fuck off.
Yeah. Damn, sorry. Jer over here, fucking jolly green Jer.
Sorry, I just feel like everyone's a little shorter when I'm towering over everyone.
Okay, so my top 5 shows this week.
Starting off with Doug.
Hey, Doug, what's your number 5?
Okay, so I tried to choose shows that specifically have come out within, like, when we, like, July of last year to July of now, or that, or whatever. No. I tried to, because we talked about stuff.
Same.
So, number
same.
5 is a show that is currently still running on Disney Plus, and that is Loki.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It has been a short, you know, it's only going to be 6 episodes. I think we just had episode 4. So I think there's only 2 left. But every episode, I feel like, has been very, like, packed full of stuff. I don't feel like any of them have been filler episodes.
Me neither.
And God, I've seen
y'all
some
give me shit. I say one thing.
and I feel that, like, or I saw on TikTok, and I'm really curious about this. They're like, each episode, like, if you look at like some of the themes and the colors that they use, might represent the 6 stones, the six infinity stones, because of like just power and we haven't done time yet, but like they break it down, like this one was really purple and like it's all about power or whatever, and like this one's about, it was like really like yellow and golden color, and it was about this and or whatever, and then like associates with the stone. They're like, I'm just saying, I think it's just, it could just be a coincidence, but the fact that the color shading and stuff for the episodes kind of matches with the stones as well as the themes of that episode seems a little on point. So really curious to see how that's going to play out, and I don't know, it's just, it's been a really fun show. And I love Tom Hiddleston, and so it's fun to see him back. And also, I think it's really—I don't know if you guys have noticed on our Patreon. I'm going to call Byron out real fast. Where Byron's like, "But didn't he die in Endgame?" Like, and it's like, "Yeah, but did you not watch, or not Endgame? Didn't he die in Infinity War?" did you not watch Endgame? I did, but yeah. I don't remember Loki coming back. And it's like, did you not watch
They made Endgame? Like a specific. Yeah, they showed that scene specifically.
There's a fair. And so he's like, oh, this doesn't make any sense to me. I guess I'll have to go back and watch it. Yeah, bud.
It's a direct. It's a direct. That's the first link.
Episode they explain it to. They
yeah, in the first it. Episode they go back.
And I'm also like worried that he hasn't actually watched it and he's just confused and hasn't watched it, and so he's gonna see that scene being like, I don't remember this.
Loki would be on my list if it was complete. Like if the show was completed, it would for sure be on my list. Yeah. Okay, my number five may surprise you.
No,
Superman and Lois. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Okay, that's surprising.
Okay. And I was just a hypocrite because it's the show's not over yet, so I'm doing the same thing. I just realized that. I was like, wait, this show's not over either. But it should have been over by now, but with quarantine, they stopped production. And so now it's coming back and we're getting new episodes.
Good.
I am super fucking surprised at how good this show is. It is so Superman. It's Superman, Superman. Like it's Superman for Superman. Like that's how Superman yeah. it is. It has heart. It has action. The CGI is probably the best that CW has ever done. It doesn't look like the Flash CGI. Like it looks like they put some money into this shit. And yeah, it's just really good. I highly recommend that anybody who's a fan watch this show, because I thought I was going to hate it. And my son was like, hey, do you want to watch this? I was like, yeah, I'll give it a shot. And my jaw was on the fucking floor after the episode. And I went, are you fucking kidding me? Like, is this a fluke? Is this? And then we watched the following episodes, and I think we're 11 episodes into the season. And we just are in awe every episode. It's so, so good. So I highly recommend it.
Nice.
Kev? Nice.
My number five is Night Court. No.
Oh my God. You said
you said you were not going to add all of these.
that theme song, though, it slaps. No, my top five, it will consist of current things. And this first one, starting with WandaVision, that was such a badass show, at least to me, because it was our first taste of like what Marvel can do in a TV series. And the first couple episodes are real red herrings. They kind of lead you in different places. But like once the show kicks off, it fucking kicks off. And it's cool to watch those different eras of shows. Like, I mean, I think we're at least Jer and I are old enough to be like, you know, to where we at least see reruns of like I Love Lucy or I Dream of Jeannie on TV.
Please don't do that.
Why are you, like 97?
Why are you doing an ageism?
Still existed.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
You're doing an ageism.
Yeah, you're okay, being ageist right now, bud.
Okay, Zoomer.
86, and Nick at Night was a staple of the channel Nickelodeon, because at like 7 p.m. it became for old people.
Yeah.
And I don't know a lot of that stuff.
And Kev, I don't want to hear this BS of like Jer and I are old enough. I do not accept it. I will not be there.
Jared's like, I've never seen a fucking episode of any of these shows. I've never heard of it.
I'm too young for this.
I Dream of Jeannie.
Who?
With Dick Sargent and Sergeant York.
Oh, I'm watching it now with that name.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I've seen all that stuff. Dick Sargent
and Dick York, and they both played the same role. Never mind. All right, hi. But yes, WandaVision was amazing. They had a lot of twists and turns, a lot of cool, and they brought some things out. You know, I'm not going to spoil it. Just go watch it. It was really fun. It was a fun experience, and it helped move the MCU without having to put out a movie, especially in a weird year of a marvelous theater, which is wild in the last 10 years. So now number five, Doug.
Number Doug, what's your number four?
My number four is WandaVision also, for all those reasons. There are some people I know that were like two, three episodes in, like, I don't get what they're doing. Like, I don't, what's happening. And meanwhile, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, this is so sick. Like I'm absolutely loving all these tropes and like, you know, like this is so I Dream of Jeannie, or this is so Malcolm in the Middle, or you know, like it's went through the eras of TV. And like the intros, like kind of always matched a little bit. They would do like a, like, okay,
a Full House.
This is, this is Full House or whatever. And it was great. And it was cool to see like kind of some of the people come back. Cause there are some people that were in the show. Was like, was her name Darcy? What was her name? Was that the character's name?
Yeah, Darcy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Darcy Lewis. Was it Kat Dennings talking about like she only thought she was coming back for like an episode, and then she ended up being like in the whole series. And then like fuck yeah, Randall Park,
FBI is agent,
so good. He's so good.
He needs his own series.
Yeah, and even just like the little Easter eggs of things that like tie everything back together. I mean, like him doing like the magic card trick after like being impressed by Ant-Man's magic 5 years earlier or whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's like, so you spent the last 5 years learning magic, huh?
Did you see that? Did you see that Dick Van Dyke actually was a consultant on the episodes and actually helped, construct the ones?
That's rad.
Yeah.
Oh, that's also, cool.
Yeah.
There was no laugh track. That was they did it in front of live audience for the live audience angles. Like they actually had a studio audience. This is pre-pandemic, I believe. So well, they showed that in the behind the scenes, which is wild to see a current show do that, which is pretty rad.
Yeah, I'm trying to think like so on that note, we've been watching we watched Boy Meets World, which did film in front of a live audience. And then we've been watching Girl Meets World after we finished Boy Meets World, and it's clearly canned laughter. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting just to like,
it doesn't feel real.
It doesn't feel real. And it's so weird going from real to fake. And I really wonder when that transition was of like, we don't actually need a live studio audience anymore. Uh-huh. We can just can it, you know,
which and I think it loses its,
it does. And I know that like some shows will use, they'll bolster it, the laugh track with canned laugh tracks just to make it sound, I don't know, if they don't like how it sounded, they'll add to it. But because I think How I Met Your Mother. I think How I Met Your Mother was canned also. But there's some show that was like, I remember someone bitching about it. They're like, oh, this canned laughter is terrible. And I remember being like, no, they actually filmed this in front of a live studio audience. They probably just added, you know. But I wonder when that switch was. Like, did it become cheaper just to film it all in a week and not have to worry about doing live shows and in front of an audience? It's
not sure, because even shows in the 80s still got away with that, like you said. I mean, they would, Night Court phoned it in. There was a laugh track that would play on every episode and it would drive me nuts every time I fucking heard that same one. It was like a cough laugh kind of deal.
Yeah.
And it's like, you knew, that's when you knew. They never had one, but they lasted like, what, 9 seasons, so...
Yeah, I'm curious.
My number 4 is going to be Yellowstone.
Oh, okay.
Very unexpected. I did. I kept seeing stuff online about this show, and I just was like, you know what? I'll give it a shot, even though it's not like it's not my thing normally. Like it's around. It looks like this is going to be. I was like, this feels like it's going to be some Republican like bullshit, like propaganda shit. I was like, all right, let's see what happened.
Is it Kevin Costner? Who's in that?
It's Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
And I was completely wrong. Like, it is some wild shit, man. It's essentially about a family who is trying to protect their land from hostile takeover. Mm-hmm. And they have the biggest, it follows the Suttons, and they are the biggest landowners in that area.
I thought it was like in the United States or something like that, or in that, like for farms, like they had the biggest farm or something.
And they never go into like how, but it's just giant. Like they just have tons of land, and he won't sell it because he's a very prideful man. And he's like, well, my family owns this land and I'm not. And like somebody offered him hundreds of millions of dollars just for a small acre, like just a small amount of land. And he's like, bullshit. And he goes to fucking war over it.
Yeah.
And, the casting is fucking dope. Both of you guys would get hooked. I swear to God. It's so good. So that's my number 4. Kev?
My number 4 is an Amazon Prime show that I kind of went into this blind, but I went in with the hype. And I came out very satisfied. It's a cartoon called Invincible, based off of Robert Kirkman's comics. And this one, it was produced by like Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg. It's got the animation of like, I want to, you know, like a kind of,
I love Genie.
like a 90s, like a superhero show.
Is it better than the 90s superhero? But yeah, it looks like the modern DC, like animated movies and stuff. It has their quality.
Yeah, and very mature, very gory. Holy shit. It's what you'd expect out of Robert Kirkman, I would say, as far as gore. You know, getting that Walking Dead gore going in it. But mm-hmm. the voice actors are amazing. The show follows, if you're not familiar, it's Mark Grayson. He's a normal teenager, and his dad is a fucking, like, Superman. Like, literally, like, he's got, like, the Superman abilities where he comes from a different planet. Just fucking inhuman, unbreakable, basically, invincible. And Mark starts to develop his powers, and he starts to learn with his dad. And you find out shit about his dad, which is Omni-Max. And Omni-Man. I don't know why I said Omni-Max. Omni-Max, is that like a... Go see this film in Omni-Max.
Probably.
It's
a condom. Who knows?
It's fucking great. This show is fantastic. Great voice cast. They have J. Jonah Jameson himself. What's his name?
J.K.
Simmons.
Yeah, J.K. Simmons. They've got Steven Yeun playing the main character.
Zazie Beetz.
Yeah, Zazie Beetz is in it. Like, man, go. If you have Amazon Prime and you like
Walton cartoons, Goggins.
Yeah, go see it. It's really
everybody.
Good.
Yeah.
And it's only like 8 episodes, too. They're 45-minute episodes, but man, it's so easy to binge watch that. Like, that was my kind of my good night move, or like right before bed, I'd watch an episode.
Jag, number 3.
Okay, I'm calling some audibles here because you both of you made me think of other shows. I'm gonna change. My number is also Invincible. It was already on my list. I had it higher. I'm actually bumping it down.
Okay.
Because it was a great show. I'm sad that Kevin didn't watch it and I don't even know if Jer has watched it yet.
Nope.
He says, nope, you are failing so much because it's so fucking good. It's so good.
Yeah,
and it's reminiscent of The Boys, and just that the, like, here are these superheroes and, like, oh, God, there's their brains.
Yeah.
Like, it's super fucking violent. Yeah. And I will say, like, the way the first episode goes, like, again, yeah, you feel like you're watching like a DC animated movie about maybe just a different group of superheroes, and then the end is just like, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh yeah. God.
Oh, like, so this
no.
is what we're doing, huh?
Okay, so that's okay. Fuck. Wow.
Yeah.
Yikes. And then it just goes from there, and it's a fun show. They all have their moments of like violence and stuff, but it's a fucking ride, man. It was a fun show, and I sent a picture to the Saga chat like after the show ended, where someone was like, they had the two Invincible like omnibuses stacked on top of each other, you know, there's just these huge giant books, the collections of the entire comic. And they're like, this little sliver. And it's like, and that's what they covered in the first season. And it's like just this mass pile of pages underneath. And it was like, fuck, that was barely like an eighth of the entire thing. Mm-hmm. So, and they've already been approved for season 14 two
seasons.
And three, I think.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, just a ton. My number 3 is going to be Resident Alien. I can watch anything all day with Alan Tudyk. It's mm-hmm. it's such a weird show, but it's just real. It's got a lot of charm. There's nothing else to say about it like that. I mean, it's really smart. It's an alien trying to hide out in a small town while he searches for a ship that crash landed, and he hates humans, and it's so fucking funny. And he goes to war with a child, and it's hilarity in itself. So I recommend that, number 3. Jeff?
Yeah, that's actually my number 3 as well. It was so much fun. It like the War with a Child. So like the story of it is like, I guess one in every million people or something like that can actually see through his human, like his human persona and see the alien. And it happens to be this one kid in this small Colorado town that can do it. So yeah, they go back and forth, just kind of like, kind of, I wouldn't say pranking each other, but definitely trying to plot each other's demise, but they're both bad at it. Like for an alien, he's pretty bad at what he does. And Alan Tudyk does such a good job of portraying this kind of like, you know, alien trying to pretend to be human, especially the conversations, because he's so dense and he will tell the truth in every situation. And so like, you know, he'll be like, you know, they'll be like, oh, I'm not feeling too good. And he's like, yeah, you look like absolute shit or something like that. You know, like there's just no empathizing, you know, and it's it, like Jared said, it's a show that kind of tugs, you know, it'll make you laugh, but it'll also like, it's got some pretty heartwarming moments. It's a pretty good moment toward the end of the season too.
Yep.
Easily. I'm excited for season two for that.
Yep. Yeah. Doug, what's your number two?
Speaking of Alan Tudyk, my number two is the animated show on HBO Max, Harley Quinn.
Okay.
It is so fucking good. It is so funny. It's obviously about Harley Quinn and like her breaking up with Joker and her trying to start her own crew. And Alan Tudyk voices the Joker, as well as Clayface, and his Clayface is so fucking funny because he's like, I'm an actor, and it's so ridiculous and over the top, and it's so funny. So he voices like, you know, every like face that he puts on, you know, so it'll be like, it's just very funny. It's got a great cast also. Lake Bell as Poison Ivy, Tony Hale as Dr. Psycho, that's funny. Tony Hale's Dr. Psycho is just like when Buster would like yell and scream at like Lucille Bluth in Arrested Development. Just that, like, it's very reminiscent of that. It's very funny.
Yeah.
Jim Rash as the Riddler, which is so fitting. And there's an episode where he starts Riddler University and is the dean. A Riddler, and I wish they had made that. More Community jokes, but it was so fucking funny that he's the dean again.
So good.
It's just a great show. Two seasons are out on HBO Max, and I binge them so quickly. And there's just, I think about it constantly, and I blame Caleb for it because he quotes it all the time. But just the when Joker finds out who Batman is, I think towards the end of season one, and he's like, I put down money on an electric car. It's like, it's been 3 years, Bruce. Where's my goddamn electric car?
I remember that meme, and I think, yeah, that was pretty good.
Like, Caleb quotes it all the time. It's so fucking funny. And just, oh, I highly recommend it. It is also violent and yeah, like full sure of fun. Cussing. Yeah, Kaylee Cuoco as I was worried about her being Harley Quinn, because I only really know her from like, you know, Big Bang Theory. Although her show Flight Attendant on HBO is also very good, but like she's great. Like she pulls it off. She's very good as Harley Quinn. I was very surprised. God, it's got so many people in it. Highly recommend it. It's a very funny version of Batman. Also, was it Giancarlo Esposito as fucking Lex Luthor? So good. So fucking wonderful. Good.
I'm like two episodes in, so I'm catching up. But yeah, you're right. It is amazing. It's hilarious so far.
Because she goes up against like the Legion of Doom. She goes off against like the Justice League. Shit is very good.
She comes showing out to a fucking bar mitzvah. the Legion of Doom are sitting at a table together. It's just funny seeing spoilers. Shit like that. Yeah.
Well, and like, and there's so many references to like just the DC universe in general, whether it be comics or movies. Like, they're Bane. While he looks like comic book Bane, is still talking like this. It's me. And he's like the butt of all the jokes. Like no one in the Legion of Doom likes him, and they just shit on him constantly. And he just takes it. Like he's like so like, oh, like what's up here, man? No one cares. Like it's so fucking funny. Highly recommend. Highly, highly, highly recommend that.
My number two is gonna be Lovecraft Country. It's like a, what's the best way to describe it? It's like a really fucked up Twilight Zone, but like a, it's like a sci-fi adventure where every episode is, it could be its own story, but it's also set in racist, H.P. Lovecraft, settings. Like it's a fucking awesome show. It's one of the best I've seen this year. I'm really sad it didn't get a second season. A lot of people are saying that it's not getting a second season because of racism. But who knows? Like, there's just a whole bunch of stuff being flung around right now. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, well, white people don't like the setting and they feel uncomfortable because it brings up uncomfortable vibes for them.
Who?
I don't know. It's just something I saw spreading on Twitter.
Yeah.
So I was just like, eh.
Yeah. I was telling my dad about it when the show was airing, and I was like, Dad, you need to watch this. And I was like, because it's like H.P. Lovecraft, like, sort of like stuff. I was like, but the best part is that the twist is not necessarily that the monsters are the scariest thing. It's the fucking white people. Like, it's the, mm-hmm. it's the, like, the race, the racism and all that, that, like, cause it takes place in, like, the 50s and, like, yeah, like, Kentucky. Wow. Like, that's what makes it scary is, like, I guess the monsters are there, but so are those monsters, and, yeah. and they are way scarier.
And then your dad was like, well, I'm not gonna watch that because I support my whites.
Oh God!
Yeah, I didn't say it.
He didn't say that either.
Oh, okay. My bad. I thought that. Okay, I got that misread. Mixed up. I misread what his quote was.
I misread what his quote was.
The quote I just made up.
Yeah, who handed you that sheet?
Someone from the side. I'm sorry. Like, it just came in. It was hot off the press. Oh, boy. Kev, have you not watched it?
No, I have not. And I, you know what? And it bums me out because you guys mentioned that it won't be getting a second season. So I'm not sure if I should. At
no,
this point.
You should. No, it's good. It's a self. Yeah, it's a self-contained.
Okay,
season.
Is it? Okay.
It has a. I want to give it a chance. No. You're not going to give it a chance. You're going to watch it.
Well, okay. I'll be right back. I'm going to go.
Yeah, because this is based on a book, and they did the whole book in the first season. And so, like, it's pretty self-contained. Because I remember when it ended being like, I don't know what the fuck they're going to do for a season two. Like, are we going to follow something else somewhere else? But, like, it's pretty self-contained.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah. I absolutely fell in love with the three main actors in this. I was like, Jonathan Majors is like, I want him in everything now. He is absolutely a fantastic motherfucking actor.
He's very good.
And good looking.
Yeah.
And then I fell in love, like I have a huge crush on Journey Smollett. How do you say her? Yeah, Smollett. Oh my God. I just fell in love with that woman. I was like, oh my God, please let her marry me.
Dude, there was when that show was going on, I saw someone post, they're like, everyone fall in love with Journey Smollett now. It's like I've been in love with her since like the 90s or whatever. And it was her and Full House or whatever. She was like
she was in
I think it was Full House. She was in like I think it was Full House. A class with the Olsen girls or whatever, like the Mary Kate, yeah. Ashley, whatever their character's name, but Michelle or whatever from Full House.
Oh, I think it's
Full
House.
But like, yeah, she's just one of the kids in like the class along with like all the other, you know, kids or whatever. She's in that and mm-hmm. she's like one of their friends or whatever. And I think she appears in a handful of episodes.
Mm-hmm. She was on that and hanging with Mr. Cooper as well.
I didn't know that. I didn't make the connection that she was in Birds of Prey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was Black Canary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And which I was just
awesome.
Like,
Mary was so good. In
I was too. Like, I was like, after I saw that, I was like, holy shit, that's the same woman. And then Abby Lee Kershaw as well. Oh, so
she the white? Was she the white woman?
Yeah, yeah. You know how I go. You know that petite.
I'm gonna have to check that show out. It looks really good. I'm sure I'll find it on someone's Plex. It's on HBO, right?
Yeah, it's on HBO, man.
Oh, perfect. We have HBO. Perfect. Okay, cool.
So great show. Go watch that.
My number two is a show that you guys turned me on to recently, and we binge watched the fuck out of it.
Night Court.
And that's Mythic Quest.
Oh,
Oh, dude, so good.
Mythic Quest, we went through, like, yeah, the first season, like a snap, like Debbie and I, because, I mean, they're, what, 30-minute episodes, so they're pretty easy to consume. You know, it's like if we were just eating between video games or something like that, you could throw on an episode. And, man, that show, it's like It's Always Sunny in a video game studio.
But not as cringy.
Yeah, not as cringy, but, yeah, but there's still cringe moments because of the fact that some of these people are real assholes and they kind of get their comeuppance in the show, but also there's some heartwarming moments. And Rob McElhenney is doing a fantastic job. He played Ian Happ or Ian.
Ian Grimm.
Ian Grimm. There you go. Thank you. And it's basically Mac if he was a video game developer, because he's got to stay in like the best possible shape and all that, but he's got like, you know, he's got the douchebag like video game, like all rings, jewelry.
Well, you do know that most of these characters are built off of real life counterparts that they've met at studios. Like they went and took a tour of studios and they were like, I can't believe that these people are real. And
yeah, he was doing an interview, I think it was Kimmel, back when season one was premiering, and he was talking about like, yeah, I was like, well, I think they went to Ubisoft. Ubisoft is
like one of the
studios things. Is the ones who are behind the show. But I think it was at Ubisoft, and he was talking about like, it's like, yeah, you know, we went in and we're meeting everybody, and there's a guy there, and he had this big, like, long beard, and he had rings on all of his fingers, and like a top hat with like goggles on it.
I bet I know stuff. Exactly and I was what like, the fuck he's talking about.
And he was like, oh, hey, man, like, what do you do? And the guy was like, I build worlds, man. Yeah. And he was like, yeah. You sure do. And like it was like that kind of became the basis for Grimm. Just this like, you know, like I build I worlds. Exactly like that's what I do. You know exactly who he's talking about? Oh my
god. Because remember, he was that douchebag that would come out. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say douchebag. He was the guy who would come out at every Ubisoft conference and like hype something either like For Honor or it was like the Assassin's Creed where he came out. He was like, he has a cane, but he gets really fucking into character. Like, I remember he would just start talking and it was like, cool, bro, just show us the fucking footage. And he would sit there and like hype it. I'm going to find him.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably the same guy. I mean,
yeah, but found him. It was easy.
Oh god. It is a very good show. I made Katie watch all of it or get her caught up right before season two started, and then we watched season two together.
Yeah, it's so good. We finished season two. We're all caught up on it. Ashley Birch, once again, fantastic. Like, everyone in it. Having F. Murray Abraham as kind of the Frank Reynolds of this show is fantastic.
He's so gross.
But you know what? He's gross, but in the second season, you learn to love him. And it's kind of funny what they do. You know, they're creative. You guys turned me onto the show because of the quarantine episode. That's what you guys talked about the most. Mm-hmm. And so, like, what they did with the quarantine was very creative. But also, since F. Murray Abraham's an older fellow, he didn't go on set until much later in the second season. So they still had him on, like, Skype calls and, like, Zoom meetings for, like, the episodes. And it was great.
The way that they were able to use the pandemic almost to their benefit as far as storytelling goes, where, like, the whole first season about, we're going to make this DLC and it's going to be called like Blood Ocean. And it's going to be a plague that like, you know, permadeaths your character. And then like the show ends and then like we're in lockdown, like starting lockdown. And then like they released, you know, like in last May, May of 2020, like their pandemic where it was like, so we got to scrap that. we got to get rid of that. Mm-hmm, that was a mistake. How are we supposed to know?
Throwing up blood.
Yeah. Like, but then that comes into play like in the second season where it's like, well, shit, what the fuck are we gonna do now? Because like we had to scrap that. Like, what the fuck are we doing next? And it's been a great show.
Have
great
they been show. Renewed for season three?
I don't know. And the way it ends, like it could be it. You know?
That's what I was wondering because we weren't sure because I haven't heard anything. I mean, knowing Apple, I mean, they should. You know,
like, I'm gonna look it. I'm gonna look it up right now. They've gotten
really good press for it. But that's my number two. I loved Mythic Quest. If you haven't watched it, it's funny. It's a dark comedy, and Danny Pudi in it, such an asshole. He does such a great job.
Yeah, it was really weird, almost going from like Community, you know, like knowing him from Community to that role where it was like,
oh, he's super smooth in this one.
and an asshole. So you're like, oh, Abed.
Yeah.
I don't like this side of you.
Screen.
It's like that episode where Abed was judging everyone. His like Terminator sense was going off.
What'd you say, Jer?
Screen Rant says that there's no plans for Mythic Quest Season 3 just yet.
Oh, man.
So that was posted 6 days ago. Okay, let's move on to number one.
All right, my number one is an Amazon Prime show that I was turned on to recently by the people over on our Discord. It is about a man who's famous for driving cars all over the world on like Top Gear, Jeremy Clarkson, and it's Clarkson's Farm. And
this is a first that I've heard you say anything about this.
Yep.
He talks about the driver in that garage room.
Yeah, we've talked about it on Discord. Clarkson's Farm, so I literally just binged it like last week and it was so fucking good. So in September of 2019, Jeremy Clarkson finds out that he owns like a farm in like middle of fucking nowhere, UK, right? And he finds out that the guy who runs that farm, actually does all the farming for him, is retiring. Mm-hmm. So he's like, cool, I'll do it. I'll spend a year learning how to farm, like just to say that I did. So the show follows him in that year from like August 2020 or August 2019 to August 2020. And in that time, Britain had both the most rain during like the planting season and then like one of the driest springs. And then.
So he just went through some shit.
And then COVID. Like in the spring. And so it's wild. Just like, yeah, like, oh, you know, we're here and we're gonna start planting. And then like it rained for 8 weeks straight. So like everything was late getting planted. And then it was super dry. And then on top of it, it's like, again, this guy who has billions of dollars, like just doing dumb shit. Just like, oh, I have this plot of land that the government gives me money for to let the wildflowers grow. But the only stipulation is I have to mow it once a year. Well, I don't want to mow it. That seems like way too much work. I'm going to get goats because sheep will eat the grass and stuff and it'll be fine. And then it's just like his workers and stuff. He starts bringing people in to help him. Cause obviously he's way over his head. And like, just them going like, ah, sheep are the fucking worst, bud. Like, they're so expensive. And he's like, how bad can it be? I just spent like $6,000 on them. That's it, right? And they're like, oh, bud, you're going to need a shepherd. You're going to need like a vet. Like, you're going to need to do you have a barn for them? Oh my God. Like, I mean, and it's just that the entire show, just like, oh, I'm going to do this. And then how every possible way it could go wrong.
That sounds fun though.
Yeah, and it was a lot of fun. And then I finished it, and like the next day they're all like, Clarkson's Farm season 2 like is in production or whatever. And it's nice. Like, fuck yes. That means if they've started in September, August of 2020, then it should be ending here soon. So hopefully it'll be out like next year. But it was really good, and it was a lot of fun, and like it's heartwarming and funny, and it's just funny. Just watching like this rich dude who has no idea about farming or any of that stuff, like trying to learn how to do it. So there's a part of me that's like, I want to see him do it again and actually have a good year because of all the uncontrollable setbacks he had in season one. Like, you can't control the weather and you can't control COVID. But there was a part during the COVID stuff where he's like, we've been here, we haven't left the farm, and he's like, I don't know what, 8 or 9 weeks now, and he's like, And I don't know if I want to go back. Like, I'm loving my time here on the farm. Like, it's peaceful. You know, we're busy. We're working because we're still technically, you know, they're part of the workforce that needs to keep working because they provide food, right? And he's like, but my isolation's been great. It's been nice just to be here with my friends and family, working the farm. And
I've added it.
Yeah. It's good. It's on Amazon Prime. It's very good. And it's like 8 or so episodes. And I can't believe I liked it. Cause I'm like, one, I don't care about Top Gear. I don't care about cars. It's not my thing. They don't really go into that a whole lot. And I don't care about farming, but there was just something about it that was just like, well, this is fucking just, I don't know.
Jeremy Clarkson's entertaining though. That's, I think he was, he's what made Top Gear is what it was. I think his commentary and his kind of like,
he's got such a good voice. He's got such a good narrator voice. It's so good. I was like, I will listen to you read books at me. Like you are, you've very pleasing to listen to.
Yeah. So I think people go for him and whatever adventures he goes on. I think it's just kind of a journey. So as you've seen.
Yeah, it was highly recommend it. And that's why it's my number one. It was very good.
My number one, I'll make it real quick. Mando, because reasons. Next.
Are we serious here?
How, I don't. Okay. Why do I need to explain it? Like I've
No. How did you guys, you two of all people who turned me onto this show, not even give it one mention?
What?
And that's Ted Lasso. That's my number one.
Oh shit. I forgot.
Ted Lasso was unbelievable. And I can't recommend that enough. It is one of the, like, seriously, one of the most wholesome shows you'll watch, but like comedy and like something wholesome that you didn't know was going to be wholesome. And
I didn't put it on there because I've talked about it on this show before.
Oh yeah, we did.
Exited. We did. Yeah. Cause it was airing last year between like March and May or whatever. Yeah.
That's when I was trying to talk you two into it.
Yeah.
So I watched it. I binged it. That's got to be my favorite show that came out, and I'm excited for season two. They've done a lot of hyping up season two right now too. Just the writing, and it's so well done. And we talked about because you wanted to get the creator on. Was it Lawrence?
Bill Lawrence. We tweeted. We tweeted, and this is funny. We tweeted at him about a week or two after we took our break, and. I think Jeremy tweeted something.
Yeah, I introduced them, both of them to each other. No big deal.
Yeah. And he got like a like from both Bill Lawrence and Jason Sudeikis. Because that's just what Jason Sudeikis does. He doesn't actually tweet. He just like pops in and shows up. And Bill Lawrence, and then I was like, yeah, dude, like you should need to go check out his other shows like Scrubs. Like I've been telling you for the last like 20 years.
So this is the, this was at the beginning of, I got a like out of it and a comment out of it because of the fact that this was right at the ramp up of when fans, like people were just starting to discover it and like become a name. And so I got in early when they were like, fuck yeah, thanks for the support and shit. And
he still does that. Bill, like every day, but it's always tweeting. It's like, yeah, man, thanks for the support. Awesome. Glad you're enjoying the show. Yeah, he's really, but continue. He still does it. I'm just saying.
Yeah. And then so I got both of those guys, and then we became best friends. Mm-hmm. And then Doug was like, introduce me. And I was like, okay,
that's fine. Not what happened.
I just said,
I just said something about the, about Scrubs or whatever. And he responded, and then, he sent us a selfie. I was like, I'm going to screen cap this. This is the best day of my life. And he was like, screen cap this. And he sent a selfie of him like laying on a couch or whatever. Mm-hmm. So he's like, print this. And Jeremy was supposed to have printed it. And it's
I printed it. So
bring it to the next saga recording.
Just frame it.
Then I was like, hey, I know this is like, I'm going to shoot my shot, but like, you want to be on our podcast? And he's like, yeah, we're in the middle of writing, but hit me up in a few weeks. And I was like, done. And then it's been a year. So
he remembers. Now
we have to reintroduce ourselves.
I'll just go back and find that tweet and be like, hey, I know it's been like a year, but we're just now coming back also. And you're done with Ted Lasso as far as.
And he's like, no, but I'm working on another show, bro.
we're working on season three, bud. But maybe we can get him.
All right,
that was my number one. So good.
Awesome. Well, that was we've got to get better at Top Five Tuesday, guys.
We haven't done it in so long.
It was almost, that was an hour, 50 minutes.
Good. There you go, folks. You're getting your money's worth.
Free. All right, tomorrow we've got What's Up Wednesday, where we're just going to share some news stories that we like. It could be video games, could be movies, could be something else. Until then, I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.